Hello, welcome to Blending Ain't Easy, episode 4. I am your host and the creator of this space, Jaleesa Alvarez. I am both the product of a blended family as well as an active participant, aka a step parent in a blended family presently. This podcast was created to be a space for blended families to thrive in the process and to receive resources, help, guidance, information, resources, and just feel like they had someone who could understand where they were coming from and some people that they could maybe grow with and have a village among them to know that you're not alone. In honor of April being Stress Awareness Month, and as you can see from this title, I want to talk about stress management, stress relief, balancing stress and emotions in the blended family, and self-care and the many variations in which it can exist. The first thing that I'd like to point out is that it is okay for you to be stressed. It is okay for you to experience stress, but it is not okay for you to remain stressed. You are responsible for getting yourself out of a stressful space. You're responsible for reducing or relieving or omitting the stress. Sometimes as people, though, we tend to, as human factors in all areas, we tend to forget that we have to start to reduce the stress, and we let stress consume us, and then it can impact us mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. So I would like to provide you with some tips, guidance, resources, and some information to help you thrive in this blended family process. This honestly isn't solely focused on blended families. Of course, this podcast is for blended families, but this is not singularly for blended families, as this can also be used for a traditional family as well. But I would like to provide you with resources for this. No matter your role in a blended family, you may at some point experience stress. Whether you are the bio parent, the step parent, the bonus child or children, or the other parent, which is also a bio parent, but just outside of your present blended family. All of those roles experience stress at whatever magnitude that they do. I don't think that there is truly, I guess, a Richter scale of who experiences it more or at what greater level it is experienced. I just think that each role can or may experience stress, and the family should be able to, you know, help each other reduce or relieve that stress so that it will not go on to impact the person or the family as a whole. So I would like to start, I guess, at the smallest, the youngest part of the blended family, which is the children. I personally believe that the children should experience the least amount of stress because, A, they are children, and children should not have to, children should not have to endure extreme amount of stress that is caused or could be omitted by their adult caregivers. Children are meant to be in the world and experiencing life at a stage that allows them to be more so carefree, not completely carefree, because they should be aware of their surroundings, but they should not be experiencing the stress and the trauma of the decisions that are made by the adults in their lives. I recall being a child a product of a blended family, and not being oblivious to the issues and the frustrations that were happening between my parents and when my mother separated from my father, the stresses and the issues that she was going through personally, I never knew that she was going through things because, as my mother likes to say, I was told to stay in a child's place, and she kept me there to whatever extent she could. She kept me there. I did not know of my parents' problems until this year. At 33 years old, my mom decided to divulge me in telling me some things that happened more than 20 years ago. And it was honestly shocking, but I can say, as an adult who has experienced my own level of stress, I am so appreciative of her for not sharing that level of stress with me. I recall being a child and we would have family functions. I come from a very large family. We would have Sunday dinners often. And at those Sunday dinners, there would be an adult table and a children's table. And if you thought you were grown enough to try to sit at the adult table, you would be quickly reminded to stand up and make your way to the children's table, because this is not your space and you have no business, as my mom and her siblings would say, being in grown folks' mouths and being in grown folks' business. So I think that too often we do not separate children from quote unquote grown folks' business, and therefore we cause a lot of the stress onto the children in our lives, and they begin to feel like they have to help us. They have to help, you know, their parents, their step-parents, aunts, uncles, cousins, whoever, whatever adults in their lives, they feel that they need to help them get through that. Why? Because they know of the problem. And most children are extremely helpful, especially when they're in that early childhood, you know, EC through six, that early childhood through sixth grade age bracket. They are learning to be helpers. They are learning to be helpful to their teachers, to their peers. They're learning to be helpful. And so in that regard, they say, oh, this person in my life is going through this, and I know that because they said it in front of me, or maybe they said it directly to me, and now I need to help them, even though they should not be faced with such a task because they are children. So the first step is, of course, to reducing the stress within the blended family is to ensure that children are separated from adult issues. Ensure that children are well aware that mom, dad, bonus parent, whatever, we're going through an emotion. But I'm not telling you, we should not be telling children the issues in depth. We should say something to the effect of, hey, sweetie, I'm not feeling well today. I have a really bad headache. Could you please go and play quietly in your room or in your play area while I work through my headache, something to that effect, so that the children understand that you need your space, but they don't have the privilege of knowing that you have a problem because of this person, because that can create turmoil with other people in the child's life that could be a benefactor to them. Another thing that we can do to omit these problems is to deal with our problems on our own, right? There are times in which you are by yourself in solitude. Deal with those problems in your solitary moments. You know, even if, you know, I used to despise the thought process of me taking a moment to cry in the car or crying in the shower so that nobody would hear about it or whatever. But it is really helpful, because sometimes you really do need that time with yourself and with God to process your emotions. And because you can take that, when you do take those times to process your emotions on your own, you may actually come out of it with a little bit more of clarity, a little bit more of a level head, and then you can speak in a better way to and around other people so that they don't receive it worse than you are experiencing it, if that makes any sense. An example I can give you to kind of not put it directly on a blended family, but I recall being told by a woman that I am extremely close to in my family, and I listen to her every word. I remember being told by her, you keep your problems and your issues in your marriage directly between, in the center of you and your spouse. Because what's in between you and your spouse is God. So you keep your problems right there. Because once they get out to the rest of the world, once your family and your friends know about your marital issues, then they don't receive them the way you do, because they don't love your husband or your wife the way you do. So they can't forgive your husband or wife the way you can. You know, they don't have the same feelings of love towards your children or your bonus children. So they are feeling some type of way, and then they're left feeling some type of way beyond your forgiveness, right? So imagine you're upset with your spouse and you go off the Richter, right? You're just going off and you need somebody to vent to in your mind. You need somebody to vent to. So you get to talking on the phone with your family member and you tell them, you know, such and such did blah, 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 blah. And you're heated about it in that moment. 2 weeks later, y'all done kissed and made up. Y'all done went on dates. Life is good. Y'all have forgotten about that issue because you two are married and, you know, God is at the center of your union. And when you talked about it with them and y'all prayed about it with God and whatever else y'all did to resolve the issue and rekindle the love, you did that. And now you guys are back on track. Your family members have forgotten, you know, they have not forgotten. They are still mad at your spouse for X, Y, and Z. But you're like, oh, we're not even on that anymore. We're on LMNOP. So keep that part in mind. Like sometimes you have to deal with the issues like at the center, at the core. And maybe that's just you sitting down and, you know, having some quiet time to yourself while you work through it with God. Or maybe you're sitting down with your spouse when it's just the two of y'all 5 minutes before you lay your heads on your pillow and y'all talk about it so that it doesn't have to spread out to the children. The next role that I want to kind of loop in here is the bio parent. The bio parent experiences stress that is caused by each member of the blended family. It is no secret that every person in this blended family process has the ability to add stress to the bio parent's life. And I'm speaking of the bio parent that's inside of the blended family. So that person will have the displeasure of experiencing stress from the other parent, right? Because the other parent is going to, you know, express whatever they're feeling. And now that person, the bio parent, is typically the first line of defense. And the bio parent has to work through those emotions before, you know, dealing with, you know, before kind of shutting it down. If you have a more proactive marriage, like in our marriage, we are pretty proactive. At least I believe we are. And my husband and I go through those type of conversations together. It was something that we were advised to do by an attorney, was that when he communicates with his child's other parent, is something that we review together, because we primarily, well, I think only, he only communicates with his child's mother electronically, whether that be text messages or email. And we take the time to review those things together as a team. But that's our method. I know other people are like, no, you know, this ain't your problem. And in all honesty, when we first got together, that's where we were. This ain't your problem. But as a supporter to my husband, it's not necessarily my problem, but we work through it together as a team to make sure that it is fully mutually agreed upon. Whatever is decided is mutually agreed upon. I typically just go with what he wants to do because he is knowledgeable and I respect his movements. If I have a difference in opinion, of course, I express it. But not only does the bio parent have to experience the stress of the other parent, then the bio parent experiences the stress of the kids. The kids are there, and they have their issues that cause stress with any parent, whether in a traditional family or a blended family. Children have the ability to cause some level of stress, but in a blended family, you're now having to, you know, I guess play tetherball between the emotions that are happening. You have to keep in mind that these children are experiencing things that some of their, you know, friends and classmates may not be experiencing. You know, they're trying to understand why my parents aren't doing this together. Why can't they do this together? Why can't we do what my friends' families are doing? They don't understand it fully, depending upon their age and their comprehension level. They may experience the stress of, like, I don't understand why we are not doing this. And so in that regard, now the bio parent has the stress of explaining the why, explaining. And it is not just a one-time conversation. They don't just get the ability to just say what they need to say and then walk away. It doesn't always work that way. Sometimes it has to be said and reset and said all over again. And maybe you got to say it a different way. You know, maybe you say it 10 times and you still have to say it an 11th time. That is a stress that is added onto the biological parent. And then the thing that, you know, if you're a step parent, if you're the spouse of the bio parent, you don't want to hear this, but then there's the stress of you. There's the stress of the spouse that is being added onto the biological parent. The spouse causes a different level of stress, right? You're married. You guys are together. You're committed for the long haul. You are gung-ho, right? We love each other, blah, 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 blah. But at some point, you could be a stressful person. The spouse can be one of the people that causes the greatest amount of stress. And that's not just in a blended family. That's in any marriage. A marriage without children, the spouse is the person who has the ability to stress you out the most. So I can't remember the statement verbatim, but there was a statement that was like, it said something to the effect of the definition of love, you know, is finding a person and opening yourself up to become vulnerable and be hurt and be stressed and be damaged and praying to God that they do not do those things. That is what your spouse is, because if you committed to marrying this person, you love them. And in loving them, you have opened yourself up to possibly being stressed out by these people. This is the person that you spend more time with, you know, maybe not more time with than anybody else, because let's just be real, right? We live in America and we go to work more than we are at home, but We see this person before we go to work. We see this person before we lay our head down for bed. We see this person on our off days. We vacation with this person. We go to therapy with this person. Whatever we do with this person, we're always with this person during our free time. And that the fact that you spend so much time with your spouse opens you up to a level of stress. And it's not just the stress of the blended family. It's like now you got to take on his or her stress of work, his or her stress of health problems, his or her stress of just day-to-day activities. You probably talking on the phone with them and you hear them say, what the, you know, because they in traffic or something like that. And now you're like, oh my God, are you okay? Are you okay? Your spouse has the ability to stress you out more than anybody else on the list. But you probably say don't. And then you work through it by effectively communicating with your spouse. And then as we move on to the other role that has the ability to be pretty stressed out in this group, and that's the step-parent, the bonus parent, however you want to call it. You as the spouse that married into that got into the marriage with the biological parent. You have the ability to experience stress. Most people would say the other parent should not or could not cause them any stress, but it's a possibility, so we'll put that there at the bottom of the list. There's some stress from the parent, from the other parent. Then there's the stress from the child, you know, whether that be the most common things at the beginning of a blended family process is, oh, they don't like me. That's a thing. Or maybe I'm worried, or I hope I do a good job, or, ooh, I'm scared, or whatever that may be. You know, whatever stress you may feel about your interaction and your relationship with your bonus children, that's a stressor. And then, of course, you have the stress of, you know, the day-to-day activities with your spouse, with the biological parent. Working through those things are a huge factor. So we talked about the roles and who all feels stress. Let's talk about how we can fix it. We've been talking about the stress for 20 minutes. Let's talk about how we can reduce the stress, eliminate the stress, relieve the stress, and to balance our emotions in the blended family. So first you have to remember that you cannot pour from an empty cup. If you've ever talked to me about stress or anything like that, you know that that is my forever statement. Fill your cup up first, and therefore you can pour into other people's cup. If your cup is empty, you cannot pour into anyone else's cup. So you have to first fill your cup up. And for me, filling your cup includes making sure that you're well. First step in making sure that you're well is checking on your physical body. Because if your physical body goes out, there's nothing you can do about any other aspect of your body or your health. So you first keep up with your doctor's appointments. Take care of yourself. If you start feeling a certain, like, you know, stress causes a lot of things. You start feeling stomach pains. You start feeling headaches. You start, you know, feeling aches and issues. Go and get that checked out. See a physician and figure out where that is coming from. Of course, making time for mental health. I'm a big proponent for therapy. Get you a therapist. Get you a family therapist. We talked about that on episode 3 with my husband. Having a family, a blended family therapist is an asset that you do not want to, you know, forget about. But you need a personal therapist. If you find yourself feeling stressed on a regular basis, have a therapist. Have a therapist and talk to that therapist. The same resource that I provided on episode 3, I will provide again today. EAP, Employee Assistance Program, will give you a personal therapist as well. Of course, the first is either 6 or 8 episodes. I'm going to say episodes. 6 or 8 sessions will be covered by EAP, and then you need to get it covered by, you know, your insurance and pay out of pocket. But as we work into a huge era of mental health being something that people focus on, insurance is covering a lot more mental health exams and therapy. So that's one thing. Filling your cup by taking care of your physical body, going to the doctor, and keeping up with your checkups, taking care of your mental health by seeing a therapist, also taking care of your spiritual health, whatever that means to you. For me, that includes prayer, journaling, talking to God, and complete quiet time in which I let God talk back to me. For some other people, that's meditation. For some others, that is, I don't know, oracle cards. There are so many things that you could use to make sure that you feel spiritually well. Because when you can feed your spirit, then you are able, then the rest of you is able to thrive. The rest of you is able to live well. Another, so that we talked about physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally is tied into the mentally sometimes, but sometimes your emotions need to be fed by, you know, if you're here and you're in a blended family, you married, or you at least in a long-term partnership, make sure that you are emotionally fed by feeling loved and loving in return. And make sure that if your spouse may be overwhelmed or overstressed or whatever, work that emotional aspect in by saying, hey, we just need a little time together. Whether that be 5 minutes standing in the bathroom together or 30 minutes going to take a ride to the grocery store together. You know, it can be as simple as that to as elaborate as taking a trip across the country for a week. Do what you have to do to feel emotionally well. And then, of course, balancing out time. The act of balancing out time is so important in managing the stress and relieving the stress. For the blended family, if you can balance out the time that everyone feels like they're valued and they're important, then you can have not a perfect family because nobody's perfect, but you can have a blended family that can thrive well together as a whole. Some ways that I would suggest balancing out the time is making sure that the biological parent spends quality time with their children. Or child, their child or children. It is so often that we try to force the blend. And I'm not saying that y'all shouldn't spend time as a whole family, but that child is very much belongs to the biological parent. And sometimes that quality time together is super important. Y'all knew it was coming. Here's a plug. My husband's podcast, Come On Man. There's an episode in season 2. I think the guest name was Alex, Tennis Shoe Ninja, in which he talked about amnesty walks with his son. He has a son and he has amnesty walks with him. If you're not familiar with amnesty is, I'm not going to tell you the Webster definition, but I'm going to tell you that what it means to me. How I learned of the word years ago. Amnesty means to be forgotten or to be removed. I don't know the physical definition. I would ask Google, but I don't feel like it. But so I learned of amnesty in college, right? You make some poor grades, you can get this thing called amnesty, academic amnesty, and they remove all your F's from your transcript, and they allow you to retake those classes so you can better your GPA. So he says, Tennis Shoe Ninja stated on my husband's podcast, Come On Man. Go check it out if you really want to hear it. All his episodes are great. And he's on every platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, all those different podcasts. All those different platforms. So Tennis Shoe Ninja, he spoke of these amnesty walks in which he would take his son out, whether they go to a park or just outside or whatever, and they would walk and they would have conversations in which he would talk to his son, just him and his son, and he would say, hey, whatever you say here is just between me and you. Nobody else is going to know about it. So get it off your chest, however you have to do that. And I think that is something that is essential in that balancing of time for the bio parent and the child or children. It's really important that they feel like my parent is somebody that I can talk to. My parent is somebody that I can spend time with. My parent has not forgotten about me, because so often children do think that they've been placed on the back burner when they get, you know, when their parents separate and they start having to do this first, third weekend over here, second, fourth weekend over here. It's easy to feel left out. Another thing is the step parent having some time with the child or children. And it doesn't have to be as intricate as the biological parent, but it should be valuable and it should be essential. It should be important. It should be a good feeling, whether that be just 30 minutes of an activity together. If you as a step parent take the time to learn your bonus kid, you will find some things that you guys may have in common. One thing that myself and my bonus kid have in common is that we both like science. And so that's where we were able to kind of find a way to spend time together, is that we enjoy science and we like science. Another thing that we've kind of gotten into lately was I love Jesus. Y'all hear me talk about God all the time. I love Jesus. And we found a cartoon like a year and a half ago on Amazon called Superbook. And it's a cartoon that teaches him about the Bible in cartoon format. And so he will watch it on Saturday and Sunday mornings after I fix him something to eat, which that's also my love language. So it allows me to, you know, show and express love to him. I make sure he has something to eat. He gets to watch Superbook. And if he has any questions, he can ask me what that was about. If I know the Bible story, I will gladly tell him. If I don't, I'm like, oh, we're going to have to learn this together. And with that bio parent time with the bonus kid and then the step parent time with the bonus kid, the next step is full family time, right? Full family time is so important so that the child or the children can see you guys are a team. You guys are on one accord. This is my family in one variation. And those things, and then that's the way to kind of balance out the time in the family, right? And then there are things that you can do to balance out your time, whether you are the bio parent, the bonus parent, the other parent, whatever. When you have some time for yourself, you are able to relieve and, you know, relieve the stress and revive. Here are some of my favorite things to do to kind of restart, reset, and reduce the stress. I love taking long showers, going to the spa, whether that means getting a facial, getting a pedicure, getting my manicure. I don't rarely ever get a manicure, but, you know, whatever. Hair appointments. This may not be a good thing for everybody, but for me, it takes me 2.5 hours to get my sister locks retightened. So I find my hair appointments to be my stress relievers, right? Because I can sit with my loctician and I can either talk for 2.5 hours or I can be completely silent for 2.5 hours and watch my favorite things, which is like crime documentaries. Retail therapy for some of us is going to the grocery store. It's easy for me to appease my shopping kick by taking a trip to HEB or Kroger. This is not a pub for them. I just like grocery shopping there. If it's bigger for you, you want to go buy some shoes, some clothes, whatever. Sometimes I just sit here and browse on Amazon, buy me a couple dresses online. That's retail therapy. Mental health therapy, as I stated before, getting you some counseling, or whatever other variation of mental health therapy you can find. I think maybe like 4 months ago, was that 4 months ago? 2 months ago. One of my versions of mental health therapy was I had a burn party. I literally sat here on an off day and I wrote out the things that were causing me stress. I went to Walmart and I bought a 78-cent sticky note pad and I wrote all the things that were stressing me out on sticky notes. Took them outside and burned the pieces of paper. And in that moment, I said, I am releasing these things into the earth because I do not want to carry those stressors anymore. Reading a book. I love reading. If you enjoy reading a book, listening to an audio book, listening to a podcast, you can always come back and listen to Blending Ain't Easy. Or listening to a sermon, whatever you can do to, like, you know, find some time to where you're like kind of disconnected from the reality of what's going on for a moment and you're finding some peace and some solace in whatever you're reading or listening to. Cooking a meal. I love to cook, like I said earlier. It is my love language. So sometimes if I'm stressed, I just get in here and I just start cooking. I start just putting something together and cooking. Or I'm not a huge fan of baking, but I like brownies. So when I'm stressed, I'll make a brownie real quick because it's quick and easy. A walk, taking a walk in your neighborhood, that is a double benefactor, right? It gives you some cardio. It gets you out the house. It gives you some fresh air. And it also gives you that quality time to with yourself and with God to have a little clarity moment, a little clarity moment. One of the things that I found recently been very beneficial to stress management at work has been a coloring book. I have a coloring book in my office and I like to crack it open, you know, and just start coloring on my little 15-minute breaks. And the most important way to reduce or relieve your stress is pray. Pray. Call on God. Give it to God. Remember that God is like your, God is a provider. God is a soul source. God will make a way out of no way. I love to, when I'm stressed or when I'm feeling some type of frustration, I tend to resort to saying the Serenity Prayer. And the Serenity Prayer is my way of reminding myself that there's some things I can control. There's some things I cannot, but God can control all things, right? So if you don't know what the Serenity Prayer is, let me give it to you. Say it with me if you want to. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference between the two. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking, as Jesus did, this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right. I surrender to your will so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. That is something that I really do lean on. I lean on that Serenity Prayer because it reminds me that there are a few things in life that I can control. And the main thing that I control is me. But there are things in life that I cannot control. And the main thing that I cannot control is other people. But I can control my reaction to them. And I can manage my stress in a way that helps me react in a better way. So, as always, I want to give you four resources, right? Four resources to make those things, those tips that I gave you, I guess, easy to manage. Five resources. EAP, Employee Assistance Program, is your best friend. Get in touch with your EAP counselor or your EAP office, whatever it is for your employer, and figure out how you can get a therapist. Figure out how you can get some assistance for yourself and for your family. Another thing that I use is the Balance app. I use an app called Balance. It helps me to take a 5-minute breather and take some deep breaths and remind myself that it ain't as bad as I think it is. It also has a portion in the app that helps you to count down to going to sleep. Like it talks you into like a meditative space so that you can take a nap. Because I forgot to list that as an option for stress relief. But sometimes you just need to take a nap. So the Balance app, there's no intricate spelling of it. It's just Balance. Check that out. I know with my insurance, it was free for the first year. So check it out. It's an option. Another app that I use is Cash Walk. I like to take those little walks, whether I'm taking a walk at work or I'm taking a walk in the neighborhood at home. I have an app on my phone called Cash Walk. And the more steps you take during the day, the more coins that they give you. So you get these coins, and when you're getting these coins, you can use those coins to get a gift card. And when you get the gift card, you can use the gift card for retail therapy. It is Look at all those benefits you just got. You went for a walk. You got some fresh air. You got some clarity. You had time with Jesus. You got some cardio in. You put some steps on your fitness app. You got some coins. Then you got some gift cards. And now you're able to go buy you something on Amazon. That's a benefit. That's a win. Another thing that I've gotten into more is games on my phone or on the iPad. Those things kind of take you away for a minute. I used to be a huge video gamer when I was younger, like in my 20s. You could not stop me from being on PlayStation playing. My favorite game was Assassin's Creed. I would play this game all the time. And then as I got older, I started letting life force me away from video games. And now as I'm a little older, I get into like little puzzle games. I love puzzle games and like scenario type games, you know, like the little ones where they telling you what to do and like the little cooking games. I play this cooking game almost every single day. And honestly, I'm not going to talk about it on here because I feel like I'm advertising at this point, but I use these apps that allow me to get paid for playing these games. If you know me personally, talk to me about it, but I'm not going to talk about it on my podcast anymore. Finding time to go and do cheap retail therapy, right? Dollar Store, Five Below, those places are good resources for little quickie books, little puzzle books, little activities that you can create within your family for yourself and your bonus kids, or for yourself and your kid if you're the bio parent. Five Below has so many things that are really cute and quick to grab. Dollar Store is not really a dollar anymore, but, you know, you can check them out too. Hobby Lobby always has the 40% off coupon. Definitely run there to get some activities. The things that we think we don't miss from childhood are super stress relieving. Like I said earlier, coloring books, knitting, playing with little beads. I made a necklace with beads with a little girl at work not too long ago, maybe like a year ago. And it was the most fun thing I have done in a long time. I still have that necklace sitting in my desk. And those things I used to do as a kid, and I thought as a grown-up, it's like people say at this big old age, it wouldn't be fun, but it was fun and it was stress relieving. And the most important thing that I have on my resource list is the Bible app. The Bible app, taking time to get into the Bible app. There are plans in the Bible app that if you follow the plan, you can just get in the Bible app and type in stress, and they have plans to help you reduce stress. You type in marriage and they have plans to help you work on your marriage in a godly way. You can type in children. They have plans to help you, you know, train up a child the right way, you know, and he will not stray away from it. Praise God. They have plans to help you in all of the areas of your life. And if you just need somewhere to start because you don't have a relationship with God, or maybe you've shifted away from your relationship with God, the Bible app is a great place to start. I know it was beneficial for me because I needed to figure out how to have a relationship with God for myself. So that's what I have for you today. I pray that you receive something well from this episode. I apologize for the length of it, but if you made it to this 43-minute mark, I appreciate you, and I thank you so much, and I would love any and all feedback. And of course, if you want to be a guest on the Blending Ain't Easy podcast, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. I would love to have a conversation with you. As always, I send you so many prayers of peace and love and many, many, many blessings. And remember that if nobody else told you today, blending ain't easy, but you're definitely doing it. Have a great day. Bye-bye.